Not because he was cruel or violent, not even because he avoided me, and only graced me with tight comments and surly commands to eat, rest, and get out of his way so he could work in peace, but because he pulled away from me. So much for his comment about being my genie. No matter how much I rub that little lamp, I receive no magical smoke or mystical being ready to listen and deliver. He no longer made an effort to ask me questions. He didn't command me to bring the wooden notebook to him and write replies to things he wanted to know. He just stopped caring. As if the thought of doing yet more for me when he'd seen how totally ruined my mind was no longer feasible but stupid, a total waste of time. He'd been slapped with alternatives. I wasn't what he wanted. I could no longer be his crucifix to bear. He might get off on bringing me back from the dead, but he'd never get me to sleep with him willingly. He'd never hear the secrets he wanted to hear. Even the sizzling chemistry whenever we were near didn't have the same pop and crackle. His eyes were void of lust. Even though I hated those four letters and the words they depicted, lust was what hummed quietly between us. It was what gave us the glue to keep dancing this strange dance. But now, nothing. And I knew why. He's going to sell me. That's why he's waiting. That was why we'd left port, to travel to another city with better prospects for a deal. That man had mentioned Hong Kong with connotations of women being used. Is that where he's taking me? Elder had fattened me up, increased my strength, and repaired my bodily flaws not for him, but for another. Someone like Ulrich who would continue my existence in hell. I struggled to breathe. My awful, awful suspicions were confirmed when Michaels came to remove the bandage around my hand and check on my tongue the third day at sea. I was on the mend. A healed trinket for sale whenever Elder chose.
Your stitches are gone.
Michaels grinned as if this was good, not disastrous.
How do you feel?
Answering his questions had become easy. Besides, I was distracted by uglier things. My body moved without thought. I shrugged. I wouldn't tell him I physically felt better, but mentally, I'd stepped back 10 paces. I'd locked myself in a doubt-filled cell I couldn't escape from.
You can test it out, you know. It won't fall off if you speak.
He tilted his head, patience painting his softly freckled face. My tongue was no longer swollen, tender and sore with certain movements, but miraculous in how it reduced an injury. Being able to lick an ice cream or curl it to blow on hot soup was a blessing. Ulrich hadn't stolen my power of speech after all. Not that I would know. I hadn't attempted to use it. I was afraid, petrified. If I spoke now, how could I go back to being silent when all of this was gone and the phantom dropped me in Elder's wake, never to be free again? I bowed my head, not looking at Michaels, even though he breathed heavily with frustration. He patted my healed hand, his eyes dancing over the fading bruises still lingering on my chest. Once again I sat naked with just a sheet covering me. He'd grown used to my dislike of clothes. He made me feel accepted in a way Elder did not. If I was ever going to speak, it would be to Michaels, to this man who understood the struggle I lived with, the struggle inside, not outside. But that first word would be so precious, I couldn't just give it away. Give it to Elder to repay him for his generosity, regardless of his end intentions. I bit my lip at the thought. Would that stop him from getting rid of me? Was it worth the cost? Yes, no, yes, I don't know. Around and around on the merry-go-round of my topsy-turvy thoughts, the conundrum kept me silent. The fear that he would sell me kept me mute.
You know where I am, if you're ever ready to talk.
Standing, Michaels collected his bag and headed to the door.
You know, if you won't speak to me, then perhaps it's time you spoke to him.
He didn't wait for my non-verbal reply before disappearing out the door. That night, after another lonely dinner, I headed into the bathroom. If Elder was going to get rid of me, shouldn't I attempt to escape? Shouldn't I do everything I could to change his mind? Why was I wasting time doing nothing? Hadn't I fought my entire life? Why am I stopping now when freedom is closer than it's ever been? My depression from the past 72 hours dispersed, incinerating under the quick blast of determination. I liked those questions. They didn't drown me, but gave me a ladder to pull my head above the tide and think clearly. I'd allowed Elder to replace Ulrich. I slipped into old patterns of letting him decide my fate. Not anymore. A terrifying, totally insane plan quickly unraveled in my head. Could it work? Could I do it? My hands shook as I grabbed the genie lamp and squeezed, sending a quick wish. I wish to change his mind by any means necessary. Dina's advice from our bathroom chat came back. She spoke of rewarding men for their good deeds, to lavish them with praise that kept them generous and kind because they felt noticed and appreciated. Perhaps Elder needed to be lavished, to be told he meant a lot to me, rather than barely tolerated. Do it then. Do what exactly? Sit him down and blurt out a mishmash of condescending praise, like I would to a puppy that retrieved a saliva-soaked tennis ball? Pat his head and rub his nose and pitch my voice into sickly sweet, hoping such tribute would keep me by his side. You have better skills. My heart gasped, remembering those skills, those disgusting talents I'd been forced to adapt to survive. Use them. Bribe him. Adrenaline filled me as I swallowed back foul memories, doing my best to envision using beaten-taut experience to buy myself more time. Do it. It's the only way. Clamping down on doubt, I jogged into the bathroom. For a moment I just stood there. What am I thinking? I shook my head. No, I couldn't do it. You can. I hated it with Ulrich. I'll hate it with Elder. But if it kept me safe, wasn't the discomfort worth it? Sucking in a breath, I stared at myself in the mirror. A girl I no longer recognized stared back. I couldn't believe I contemplated doing the one act I deplored above everything, all in the name of bartering for my freedom. Taking my own life was more preferable, more acceptable. But I lived in a commerce world. People traded things all the time. Items that didn't hold a value for the current owner were priceless to another. All it would cost me was dignity and self-worth. I'd given up such things the moment I was stolen. It was the currency I'd been taught, the sum value I was willing to spend. It would bankrupt me, but to Elder it would carry the weight of winning. And if he felt I'd finally accepted his terms, it's worth a try. Ignoring my trembles, I combed my hair until it shone glossy and thick. A few days ago I'd taken a pair of scissors to the mismatched ends, smoothing out the style so I didn't look so tatty. I pinched my cheeks until a healthy young girl stared back. I opened my mouth, touching the red line on my tongue where no black stitches remained, then sucked up every droplet of courage I had left. Placing my hands in the marble either side of the sink, I leaned forward, braced, fidgeted, braced again, then parted my lips. My tongue shaped and tested silent words, my vocal cords tossed off grime and grit to obey, and my lungs inflated with the knowledge that here and now I took back a piece of myself I'd locked away. My first word was my own. I was the one who deserved it the most. Looking into my moss-colored eyes, I whispered, "Stop being weak." Pain lacerated my throat. I stopped, coughing as tears formed, and I massaged the abused larynx that was no longer on a sabbatical. The first vibration into understandable sounds was hard and painful and croaky, but to my ears they were utterly sublime. Smiling through tears, I tried again. "Stop being weak, you..." Another cough, swallow, and wince. "Have to decide." The stutter hum of my voice sent goosebumps down my spine. I'd forgotten what I sounded like. My accent was different to the many ethnicities Elder hired on board. I sound like my mother. Wetness spilled over my cheeks as I let questions flow. Where was she? Why hadn't she picked up the phone that day? Did she ever think about me? Pushing her away, I dug my fingernails into the marble and inhaled deep. I prepared to unlock the remaining snares and bear traps around my throat. No one else deserved your first words, but you. Stop being a fake. Ouch. That word hurt more than the others. Turning on the tap, I poured a little water into my palm and drank. Once the burn in my throat was dampened, I finished. Stop being a victim. My eyes narrowed in reproach, even as I continued to berate myself. You have to decide, Minnie Mouse. I coughed, swallowed, took another drink of water. My father's nickname sent more tears plopping against the sink. My voice wobbled from sadness as well as ill practice. Run. Find a way to escape. Another cough stopped me short. Hot pain overwhelmed me, and as much as I wanted to continue talking, my body was not ready. Locking eyes to the mirrored reflection, my forehead furrowed with concentration. Escape, Tamsin. Go home, even if there is no home to return to. Do whatever it takes, or decide if you want him to keep you. The world is not safe out there. You saw firsthand how Elder steals and that man buys pleasure. Perhaps you were never meant to live amongst normal. Perhaps there is no more normal. My fingertips pressed against the mirror. This isn't so bad, is it? Sure, he'll make you do things, sexual things. But he's proven to be human beneath his monster. I couldn't look deep enough inside myself to find answers. I didn't know what I wanted. But I did know I didn't want to be sold. Not now, not ever, never again. You know what you must do then. I nodded at my reflection, dropping my fingers from the cool mirror and swiping up the streaks of salt on my cheeks. Each breath plugged up the holes inside with ideas and fears and wishes. Swallowing, I muttered two words before embracing my silence once again. Two words solidifying my commitment to doing whatever was necessary to keep myself alive. No matter what world I stayed alive in. I know. Pushing off from the sink, I strode from the bathroom before I could change my mind.
Chapter 27, Elder. I heard her before I saw her. The gentle breathing of determination sneaking on silent feet. My muscles locked. I deliberately kept my distance for 3 days, taking my issues out on Seelix in the ring and swimming in the ocean. I was exhausted, not just physically, but mentally too. Pim had dragged me back to a time when things were perfect. She'd reminded me of how I was before the catastrophe and showed me just how much I'd changed. The boy in my past would have taken her anywhere she wanted the moment I'd rescued her. I would have given her money to survive and professional help to thrive. Everything I'd stolen up to that point would have been shared because I knew what it was like to have no one. I was no longer that boy. I was a man who'd spent the last 72 hours obsessing over which choice was the lesser of two evils. Keep her and destroy myself, or sell her and destroy whatever was left inside her. Freeing her was not an option. Not because I hadn't been able to track down her mother, even though I'd tried again to trace her number, but because I hadn't finished what I needed to do before my past came to light and I was incarcerated for life. I didn't know Pim's name. I didn't have an accent to go off, skin coloring to hint, habits to trace. I had no idea where she came from. She wrote to no one, but she was no one. Alone in the vast world of sin. Wait, that's wrong. My fists clenched as my world imploded, crushing me with a new thought. She's not no one. I am. For years I'd been adrift. I'd been forgotten, shunned, unwanted. I had no one to call my own, no home, no love. No one knew my true name apart from 3 people. No one knew who I was anymore, including myself. I was the epitome of no one and nothing, Christ, had she been writing to me the entire time? Goosebumps snarled over my flesh that it wasn't Ulrich and his desire to build an armored yacht that brought her to me, but her notes to no one, all along addressed to me. The determined footstep came again, smashing my stampeding thoughts into a singular one. Her. I stopped breathing, stepping into the moonlight. Pim moved with a white sheet haloed around her. She'd tied the ends behind her neck, creating a loose toga that turned her from human girl to Grecian goddess. Every part of me stiffened. Fuck. How did she get even more beautiful in 3 days? My sea droplet-covered chest warmed until I was sure I'd steam with heat. My heart, already darting wildly from my prior conclusion of being her no one, increased its tempo until I grew lightheaded with need. Intensity arrowed down my belly, feeding my cock in a rush of lust. My wet boxer briefs couldn't hide my reaction as I thickened and lengthened by how gracefully and brave she moved. What are you up to, Pim? Why do you have to seek me out now, when I'm so fucking close to breaking every rule and claiming you? If I was a better man, I'd command her to go, to turn around and return to her rooms, far away from me. But I wasn't a man. I was no one, and as our eyes met, I fell completely under her spell. I did my best to slow my pulse from my late-night swim. It didn't work. My heart decided it wouldn't calm. Not now she'd bewitched me with her immortal strength and fragile hope and the way her damn eyes dove into mine. Not now I felt tethered to her in a way I never thought I would again. Tension poured into being, waking around our ankles, getting thicker the longer we stared. Pim stood there silently judging, waiting, watching. I should put her on the helicopter and drop her off at the nearest police station. Fuck my past. I had the Phantom. I could outrun the law for long enough. So why did the very thought of sending her away hurt something inside that I thought was long dead? Tell her to go back to her fucking room. Coming to a stop in front of me, Pimlico bowed her head and clasped her hands loosely. The goddess herself prayed before me. For what? I didn't know, but she looked celestial and chills ran over my skin, adding to my previous layer of goosebumps. It was no longer about how beautiful or broken she was. My attraction for her had exceeded normal barriers. I didn't know how to deal with that. Get away from me, Pim, before I do something we'll both regret. Her chest rose and fell as if she'd heard me, her hair silky and sensual, cascading over her shoulder. My muscles tensed as she slowly reached up, her hands disappearing beneath her hair to tug at the loose knot holding the sheet. My chair creaked as I tensed. The white cotton fell in a quicksilver cascade, puddling on the deck. Christ! Her eyes met mine, her chin tilted in regal power. Her nakedness wasn't vulnerability. It was her strength. The one thing she'd claimed as her weapon. She stood before me bare and unyielding and fucking decimated me with how much I wanted her. I sucked in a breath, my cock hardening to the point of agony. I should have stood up the moment she arrived. I should have slung a towel over my waist so she wouldn't be appalled with the lust I had suffered, when lust had been what hurt her. But sitting on the deck chair with my legs sprawled in front of me, there was no hiding my arousal. Her gaze dropped to my crotch, her jaw tightening. Shadows crossed her eyes, faint lines etching her mouth as if she argued some internal debate. And then she thudded to her knees. She winced at the hard wood on already punished bones. My stomach clenched to sit upright and pick her up, terrified she'd tripped. But her hands shot forward, one landing on my chest to keep me reclined, the other grasping my waistband and pulling. My cock leapt free from its confinements, not caring about right or wrong. What the? Before I could stop her, she inserted my length into her mouth. Holy fucking Jesus. My mind collapsed as her hot, wet mouth sucked me hard. She didn't tease. She didn't toy. Her hands slipped over me as her lips followed, sucking me deep, turning me brain dead. Instinct roared into control, pent-up desire unleashing and taking ownership. My hips thrust up as my hand landed on her head. Somewhere in the back of sanity, I noticed how soft her hair felt, how she bobbed over me, how fucking good her tongue worked my crown. I didn't think about her injury. I didn't think about her past. All I thought about was how goddamn good she felt. What a magician she was with her tongue and fingers and mouth. Every blood cell relocated in my cock, throbbing for more, and she gave it to me as if she understood my body more than I did. Her tongue swiped again, dancing around the tip, dragging a ragged groan from deep inside me. I couldn't fight. I couldn't win. My legs widened as she shuffled closer on her knees. Her hair blanketed my thighs as she kept my ocean-damp boxer briefs pulled away, while her other hand dropped over my stomach to cut my balls below. She drove me insane. I shivered with every touch and lick. It had been an age since I'd been with a woman. Been with a willing woman. The word willing shot into my head, tearing through my lust. Pimlico was a woman, but was she willing? Why was her mouth on me, her tongue tasting me, her hand superbly working me to come? Why was she on her knees after a lifetime of hell with another man? Shit. My teeth gritted as I dropped my hand from her scalp to her chin. It fucking killed me, but I summoned every decency I had left and tugged her away. My body trembled. Pre-cum rippled as she sucked harder, refusing to move. I pulled harder, battling so many things at once. I wanted to throw her down and fuck her beneath the open sky. I wanted to hit her, to get her far away from me, so I could gather my tattered thoughts and make sense of this. I wanted her to stop. "Pim," I growled as her teeth scraped sensitive skin, making another wave of pleasure shoot, begging for a release. It would be so easy to let her go, to lean back and give in, to spurt inside her expert little mouth and let her take that from me. But that wasn't how I worked. I didn't take advantage of people, apart from their money, and I definitely didn't give in, ever. "Stop." Wrenching her mouth off me, I panted as my cock smacked against my bare stomach, glistening with her saliva, pulsating with a need to climb back inside her. It would be so fucking easy to pull her head back down and tell her to finish what she started. But the one question I couldn't ignore gave me willpower. Why had she started this in the first place? Sitting forward, not caring I remained exposed or she was naked between my thighs, I grabbed her chin. Her skin was ice beneath my fingers. I refused to look at her breasts or pebbled nipples. I focused on one thing only. Why? She didn't meet my eyes. Her right hand crept forward and clutched my throbbing cock. My head fell forward as her palm stroked me with the lubricant from her mouth, soaring up to squeeze my crown. Fuck. Keeping her chin firm in one hand, I grabbed both her wrists with the other, flinching as I yanked her touch away and the elastic of my underwear splatted my cock tight against my belly. "Tell me why. You didn't want to do this. You don't even like to be in the same room as me, let alone touch me." I shook her a little. "Have I made you feel like you have to repay me? I don't need a pity blowjob." Her teeth ground beneath my hold, rebellion and secrets in her gaze. I tightened my fingers, bruising her, but unable to stop the frustration leaking through my hand. "Don't touch me, Pim. I don't want that from you." Her face crumpled before determination replaced her pain. It was a cruel thing to say, but the truth. Only, not the complete truth. I didn't want subservient sex. I didn't know what I wanted, but fucking her against her will was not it. Taking a deep breath, I amended. I don't want that from you unless you want it. Do you understand? I'm not going to take from you. Not like him. She struggled in my hold. I let her go. Instead of ducking for the sheet to wrap herself in, she stood, seething with reckless calm. I wished so damn much she'd talk to me, but her silence said everything I needed to hear. I cocked my head, disbelieving the reason I saw in her gaze. Wait. I narrowed my eyes, doing my best to see past her anger to the plan gleaming below. You sucked me because you're trying to bribe me. Is that it? She sniffed, her chin soaring high in the air. Why? If not for misplaced need to repay me, then why? I stopped myself as the answer came. Of course. Fucking hell. Why didn't I realize her thoughts would go in that direction? Sitting forward, I glowered. You think if I enjoy fucking you, I'll keep you? My voice lowered. That I won't sell you. She locked in place, her kneecaps the only thing trembling when the rest of her was stoic. If I couldn't read her body language, I wouldn't have seen her terror. That's it, isn't it? You thought whoring yourself out would make me want to keep you. Her lips parted at the awful word. I stood, tucking my pounding cock back into its prison of underwear. Don't like being called a whore? I invaded her space, our chests touching, her nipples kissing my dragon. Then don't act like one. I couldn't be around her. I'd do something I'd regret. This night was fucking over. Next time you think you can bribe me to do something by offering sex, remember that I want other things from you. Your body is not my end goal, Pim. Your mind is. I didn't look back.
Chapter 28, Pimlico. A week passed. An awful, terrible week, where Elder treated me like a member of his staff. We met occasionally on the deck where the sun shone bright and unhindered, glittering on the ocean all around us. But he merely nodded stiffly and ignored me. There were no invitations to dinner, no origami boats or roses. The night I'd sucked him, I'd relapsed to the same brittle sadness I'd existed in for 2 years. The shame Elder smeared me with coated everything. And for all the awful attention Ulrich bestowed upon me, I wished Elder would at least acknowledge my presence in some way. His temper and judgment over what I'd done drilled holes into me, bigger and bigger as each day ticked past. Not once in 2 years had Ulrich made me feel cheap. He made me wish for death, but he prided himself on telling me how much I was worth and why that value meant he would never kill me. Elder didn't value me at all. Was it so wrong of me to use the only skills I had to barter for my safety? Did I deserve to be called a whore? The moon hung heavy in the sky as I stood on my balcony and pondered just how much I was willing to let this man destroy my soul. I'd already let one destroy my body. I didn't think I could do it again, even if the scars weren't visible this time. The black ocean slipped silently beneath my feet as the Phantom sailed to whatever destination Elder had in mind. We'd been at sea for 10 days. And the longer we were away from land and cities, the more he seemed to relax. But only when I spied on him from the shadows. When he was aware of my presence, he spiraled tighter and tenser than a fighter ready to battle to the death. Did I repulse him that much? Where was the man who'd found me intriguing enough, pretty enough, to threaten my owner for one night with me? Why now that he had me to himself, couldn't he even look at me, let alone talk to me? Ugh. I grabbed my hair, rippling in the wind. I didn't want to think any more. Just jump. The two words fell from my lips like a caress. The thought of ending it was no longer powerful but borderline weak. But the sewage inside my mind would never leave. My bones might be healing, but would my soul? My hands clenched the handrail, pulling my body forward. It would be so easy to switch my center of gravity, push up, teeter, and let the ocean have me. You survived. Don't give up now. Sniffing back angry tears, I turned my back on the sea, whispering its deathlock of sanctuary, and closed the door. Quiet descended in the suite, reminding me just how tired I was. The night we'd set sail from Morocco, after Dafydd Carlton tried to buy me, the nightmares had begun. Every time I closed my eyes, Auric was waiting. He tormented me harder, faster, more brutal than ever before. I'd wake up in sweat-drenched sheets, my heart a chainsaw, and a silent scream lodged in my throat. Seemed even in unconscious terror, I'd train my voice not to speak. Padding to the bathroom, I wrenched on the hot water and climbed into the shower. I did my best to distract my weary thoughts, but washing myself was foreign. My body didn't feel like my own. Ridgeline of scars and bumps of broken bones. If I stood too long, heat built in my spine, and unwanted aches throbbed in my knees. I wasn't stupid to think those pains would cease. What I'd lived through had wrenched my young form. But then again, I'd been at war. Who ever returned from war in one piece, body or mind? Once I was clean, I dried myself with a fluffy towel and hung it up neatly. Despite the chill of being damp and tired, I didn't dress and climbed into bed naked. I exhaled heavily and closed my eyes.
You little bitch, you thought you could run away from me? You can never run away.
Master A struck me with the chain, slapping it hard with a metal bite against my ass. I bit my lip to staunch my scream, as I always did, but it only made him rage harder.
Speak to me, sweet Pim. Yell, I want to hear you beg.
I tried to curl into a ball, but the ropes on my wrists and ankles prevented me. Tied face down on the bed, I couldn't protect any part of me.
I know what will make you scream.
His chuckle was pure evil.
I know how to break you, pet.
His feet thudded on the white carpet as he headed to a remote control on his bedside table. No. No, please. I squirmed. It only made him laugh.
Ready for it?
He dramatically punched the play button. Instantly, classical music rained down from the overhead speakers, drenching me in violins and pianos and god-awful melodies. Master A danced in a morbid sway.
Ah, don't you just love Chopin at 2 a.m.?
I bit my lip hard as he came closer, the chain in his hands clinking with every waltz step.
Now are you ready to talk?
I pressed my face into the bedding, hating that I inhaled his scent but begging the mattress to suffocate me and let me go. I could die like this. I could be free. But Master A preempted me. Dropping the heavy chain across my naked back, he wrapped a thin piece of rope around my throat.
Can't have you trying to run away from me now, can we?
Hoisting my neck up a little, my spine bellowed at the wrongness. The rope throttled me, but not enough to kill me. Just enough to prevent my nose from pressing into the sheets. The minute he had my head in position, he tied the rope and picked up the chain again. And this time, I knew he would break me. 2 long years, but tonight was the night he would end me. The music swelled louder, poignant and sad with cellos and drums. Master A's determination became an instrument in the chorus, pounding me. He struck. I tensed as best I could in my bindings.
Speak, sweet little Pim.
Another strike. This one so cold and hard my skin split over my kidney, tickling me with blood.
Speak!
As the music grew louder and louder and Master A's strikes hit faster and faster, I made a decision. He wouldn't let me walk away tonight without hearing my voice, and I wouldn't remain living the moment he heard it. We were both at the end of our patience. Tonight I would scream, and then I would die.
Speak!
The chain lacerated me. I became ribbons of flesh. Each strike pushed me closer to the blackness I so craved. Yes, let me die, please.
You don't want to speak? Then scream.
Master A hit faster until the blur of connection on my back and the sting of air in the moment's reprieve melded into one. I was dying. I'll be free soon. Knowing he could no longer hurt me, that another few more strikes would be the death I needed, I opened my mouth. The music crescendoed with cymbals and flutes, and I threw myself into nothing. I screamed. My throat burned. My eyes shot wide. The scream was otherworldly and wrong. My jaw ached from opening so wide. My ears rang from the noise. Just a nightmare. Only a nightmare. Instantly, I began to sob. My scream cut short, and somewhere deep inside me, I realized this was the first time I'd broken my silence unwillingly. My sadness crested, doing its best to mute the outside world. But something tickled my ears, something harsh and hated and harrowing. No. Music. Classical music. The notes threw me headfirst back into my nightmare. He's here. He's not dead. He's come back for me. My back bellowed, my skin sticky from dream blood and sweat. I couldn't stop my body or the instinct to run. My legs bolted from the bed before my mind even knew I was standing. I flew across the suite, charged into the corridor, and galloped. I ran and ran, down plush carpet and past expensive artwork. I careened into walls and clamped hands over my ears for silence. Yet the music chased me, threatened me, warned me that it would catch me, and when it did, I would die. Sobs interfered with my breathing. I bounced into another wall, shredding my shoulder on an intricate gilded sconce. My blood smeared the neutral paint as I stumbled forward. I didn't know where I was going. My brain wasn't cohesive. All I could think about was the music. 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 I came to a door. It opened beneath my fumbling fingers. My bare feet flew up the stairs. Up, up, up. Away from hell. Fly to heaven, where there was no more music or the devil. Hitting a deck above, the rhythm and classical notes reached a level higher than ever before. The instrument weaving and ducking, playing with me in its sinister way. I couldn't think. My hands remained clamped over my ears, my breath sticky in my sob-coughing lungs. Stop! I ran down another corridor, but instead of the music growing quieter, it grew louder, louder. It ricocheted in my ears, it reverberated in my skull. I wanted out. I wanted to stop. Please make it stop. My arm bled faster as my heart pumped to keep me running. And then the corridor ended. A dead end. I was trapped. Ulrich's chuckle danced on a cello string. I lost it. Ramming my bleeding shoulder into the door at the end of the corridor, I exploded into a room. A room where the music lived and breathed. And in the center of the music sat the maestro and creator of my worst enemy. Elder. The world went black.
Chapter 29, Elder. Something pale and bleeding soared across my threshold. Part of me noticed and twitched to stop, but the rest of me was captive to my cello. I couldn't stop until the final beat. I couldn't end so suddenly. My body shook as my fingers held the sweetest note, my bow singing over the strings. The music building louder and stronger, and so damn alive it killed me to murder it all in the name of a song. But I'd reached the end. It was over. I tore my calloused fingers from the strings. My bow hovered, barely kissing the instrument. Silence shattered over me. I looked up just as the midnight interloper collapsed in a jumbled pile, unconscious. My cello twanged as I caught a string with my bow, launching from my chair. Pim. It took 3 seconds to gently deposit my cello on the floor, 2 to cross the suite, 1 to slam to my knees, and 0 to gather her naked, clammy body into my arms. What the fuck is she doing here? How did she find my quarters? What the hell happened? Violence painted my thoughts. If any of my staff had hurt her, they'd be meeting Moby Dick later tonight. Pimlico, open your eyes. She didn't. Her lips were slack, her face gaunt and haunted with shadows. Her blood streaked my arm where a small graze on her bicep wept. She was as frigid as ice and as lifeless as a corpse. Wake up. Keeping her in my embrace, I climbed to my feet. For a girl with long legs and such fire, she weighed next to nothing. What was she doing here? Did she hurt herself deliberately, or was it an accident? My heart raced as questions piled on top of questions. Was she trying to kill herself? I'd been an asshole to her for days, but only because she'd undone me. I couldn't look at her without feeling her warm, wet mouth or her lips on my cock. I'd told her I wouldn't touch her, but it was for my sake, not hers. I couldn't touch her. I couldn't have her, because if I did, that would be the end. My issues wouldn't let me have anything less. But now guilt lacerated me. I'd stolen her to give her a better life, and I'd turned my back on her, telling her she was a whore and not something I wanted. Shit. Laying her gently on my bed, I tugged the covers from beneath her and laid them over her nakedness. Her nipples were almost the color of her pale flesh. The shadows between her legs reminded me she was a woman, but still so young. She'd been through so much already. What fucking right did I have to make her feel so belittled? Tucking her in, I turned on the bedside light and called the kitchen. Melinda, the head chef, answered even this late.
Kitchen.
Fuck, I wasn't thinking. I should have just called Celix. I didn't need food. Merely someone to gather things to help. Oh well, she'll do. Please arrange some tea, a hot water bottle, and painkillers to be brought to my room. Better bring a robe from the spa deck, too.
No problem. Did you want food?
No. Yes. I don't fucking know. Bring something that would be suitable for someone who's fainted. There was no pause or questions.
Sure. On its way.
Hanging up, I sucked in a breath and rubbed my face. What the hell was I thinking stealing this girl? She needed help, more than what I was qualified or able to deliver. I'd been a selfish bastard once again, thinking only of himself. Leaning forward, I cupped her cheek, ignoring the cool sweat and fear still coating her skin. You have my word. Nothing and no one will hurt you. You're safe here. She didn't stir. Not able to sit still, I stood and paced at the bottom of the bed. My room was at the front of the ship, with glass on every wall. Effectively, it was a goldfish bowl, welcoming sea and sky rather than walls and ceiling. Each pane was quadruple thick and strong enough to withstand pounding squalls. And with one flick of a button, the see-through crystal became shaded with a chemical reaction, blocking the sun, negating the need for curtains. I looked at my cello. Up until the night we left Morocco, I hadn't played since Pim came on board. The itch had been there. The drive in my fingers and need in my heart hounded me to become a prisoner to the notes. But Pim had been a fascination worthy of distracting me from my passion. Until I'd shut her out, of course. The first night we left port, I'd played softly for only a few minutes. The next slightly louder and longer. The next longer and louder again. Tonight was the first time I let myself go and poured myself into a song, mixing heavy metal with classical. I blended genres and lullabies to create my own. I was tempted to put the large instrument back in its case, but as I stepped toward it, a rustle sounded from the bed. Pim thrashed, her lips wide with silent screams. Forgetting the cello, I dashed back to her and sat on the mattress. Tucking wild hair behind her ear, I murmured, You're safe. I'm here. Her thrashing turned worse. I grunted as her leg connected with my side, but I never moved. My fingers wrapped around her cheek, holding her steady. It's me. He's not here. Trust me. Her eyes flew open. In a microsecond, she tore herself away from my touch, ripped off the sheet, and shot to the head of the bed. Wedging herself against the flocked gray headboard, she hoisted her knees up and wrapped her arms around herself, rocking. She didn't look at me, though. Her fear wasn't directed at me. I followed her line of sight. Her terror was toward my cello. I stood, placing myself between them as if they were two lovers meeting for the first time. It's just an instrument. It won't bite. She bared her teeth like a wild cat, a silent hiss on her tongue. Walking backward, I had an odd feeling she would like nothing more than to attack my prized possession and throw it overboard. I wouldn't let that happen, under any circumstance. Widening my stance, I blocked the cello with my body as best I could. It's just an object. It can't hurt you. Her eyes flickered from me and back to the thing I prized most in the world. Her chest rose and fell with ragged breaths. A thread of insanity clouded her gaze, only for her to shake her head and snap back into the poised and incredibly strong woman I recognized. Her arms slowly unwound, letting her legs fall to the side. Her breasts danced with shadow from the night sky above, but she made no move to cover up. A quiet knock on the door wrenched her head to the side. I held up my hands as if she'd sprout wings and smash through my glass ceiling. It's only the staff. You've dealt with them before. Her nostrils flared, her attention distracted between me and the cello as I crossed the room and opened the door. It fucking hurt to leave my instrument unguarded. I didn't trust her. Melinda stood with a white robe with the phantom logo of a gray storm cloud and a barely disguisable figure slung over her arm with a small tray, teapot, two cups, and a hot water bottle.
Here you go, sir. I didn't bring food. The tea should suffice for a fainting episode.
Thank you. I took the items. She reached into her pocket for a packet of painkillers.
Almost forgot.
I took those too. Appreciate it.
Not at all.
Her lined but pretty face smiled before she turned and headed back the way she'd come. Closing the door, I faced Pimlico. She wasn't there. My gut clenched as I spun to find her. She'd climbed from the bed so silently I hadn't heard. My heart leapt into my throat as she stood over my cello, the horsehair bow tight in her hands. Ever so slowly, so as not to spook her, I placed the tray on my work table before padding softly toward her. Pim, put it down. She didn't move. If she broke it, I'd have to break her. I wouldn't even think about it. Her gaze locked with all the hate in the world on the innocent second-hand instrument. The same instrument my parents had borrowed money to buy me. Her hand turned white around the bow. If she attacked it, I'd have to attack her. There was reason in this world, and then there was irrationality. My cello was my one irrationality. It had too many things attached to it, too many bad and good memories, too many scars and stories to allow a twisted woman to touch it. She would fucking bleed if she hurt it. Pim! My voice boomed as she pulled her arm back, ready to strike, to snap my bow. To shit on my entire past because she didn't understand me. She didn't listen. Her arm came down. She gave me no choice. I charged. Grabbing her around the waist, I stopped the arching whistle of the bow before it could strike. Shaking with anger, I wrenched the priceless bow from her hand and placed it gently on the chair where I'd sat to play. Dragging her away from the precious instrument, I clamped livid hands onto her shoulders and shook, hard. Don't you ever do that again, you hear me? She turned wild in my arms, wriggling and fighting. A growl rumbled in her chest, but she didn't yell or scream. Her fighting was nothing. I held her effortlessly, but my temper rose to match hers. My insides curled with the urge to hurt. Just fucking stop it. She didn't. Tears sprang from her eyes, tracking down her face. But she still fought. She scratched and kicked, connecting with my forearm to gorge tracks in my kneecaps with her tiny feet. I bellowed, "Fucking stop!" Holding her ruthlessly tight, I marched to the bed and threw her onto the mattress. She winced but didn't stay down, so I made her. Slapping my palm against her chest, I shoved her onto her back. "Keep fighting and I will hurt you. You have my fucking word, you will be in pain." Breathing hard, I leaned over her, adding more and more pressure to where I held her in place. "Whatever trance or nightmare you're in, wake the hell up. I don't have the patience for this." She snarled, struggling to sit up. Her eyes once again gravitated back to my cello. I grabbed her cheeks with my free hand. "What is it? Why are you acting like an idiot?" I dug my fingers tighter. "God damn it, speak and spit it out." Her heart hammered beneath my palm, holding her down. Her body lurched with terror and rage. It wasn't an act. Her fear stank my room with truth. Pulling back, I removed some of the pressure. "I'm going to let you go, but if you go after my cello again, I won't hesitate to do what's necessary to stop you. Got it?" She ignored me. My patience wore out. Pinching her face, I forced her to look at me. "Got it, Pim?" Her eyes blazed green fire. "Nod for yes. This is one time I won't let you get away with not answering me. Unless you truly want me to hurt you, then that can be arranged." We glowered at each other. For a moment, I feared she'd make me hurt her to prove a point, to become like him. But then saneness finally glimmered. She reluctantly nodded. I rewarded her by letting her go. Prowling away, I jerked both hands through my hair, doing my best to figure out what the fuck was going on. "What were you doing running around the yacht naked and bleeding?" She slowly sat up, dragging the sheet with her to cover her nakedness. I didn't know why she did. It wasn't because she was shy. Perhaps to make me more comfortable? She didn't hunch, but she did keep her eyes downcast the more sanity returned to her. Her body language spoke of regret and shame, of confusion and a lostness that made my goddamn chest ache. Regret I could understand. I regretted so much of my life. But shame was not allowed. Stopping my pacing, I snapped. "I know what you're thinking. It's about the other night, isn't it?" Her eyes met mine. "Don't feel shame for trying to show me what we could have together." I gave her a wry smile. "Receiving a blowjob from you, even if I stopped it, felt fucking incredible." Deciding to push her and see just how open she was to discussing sex as a mutual thing, not just an expectation, I added, "Your mouth." "Fuck, Pim. I dream about your mouth and finishing what you started." She sucked in a breath, her chest flushing. "So don't feel shame for showing me what you're worth. I already know what you're worth, and it's a lot fucking more than just sex." She looked at her hands in her lap. I couldn't help it. She thought she could lock me out after tearing into my space and wreaking havoc. The least she could do was listen and communicate for once. Striding toward her, I once again grabbed her chin, dragging her eyes to mine. "Is this about Dafford? About him trying to buy you?" She flinched, trying to pull her face away. I didn't let her. "If it is, I'll make you a promise right here and now. I won't sell you. I won't lie and say I didn't think about it. But I give you my word. I won't. You're mine for however long I decide." Her eyebrow arched, as if to ask what would happen when I decided that time was up. "Then we deal with that when we come to it. Things have a habit of changing, and decisions made now might be obsolete by the time we decide this. Whatever it is between us has run its course." She scowled as if she didn't do well with open-ended contracts. She liked to see the finish line, to know what would happen in a best and worst case scenario. Perhaps that was why she still held on to the idea of suicide, even though she was too strong to ever give up. It was the power in having an end the way she orchestrated, no one else. I could understand that. Shit, I danced with the same possibility myself when everything turned to fucking pieces. But she didn't get to decide that anymore. Now I've sworn never to sell you, I need you to swear something in return. She sucked in a breath, her teeth grinding beneath my hold. Swear you won't end it. Don't rob me of the chance to heal you. She snorted, as if that wouldn't be long. She stuck out her tongue, revealing a red line decorating the pink muscle. No more stitches, and no more blood. It was my turn to suck in air. I'm glad it's almost healed. She held up her broken hand that had downgraded from bandage to skin. Her eyebrow rose as she wriggled her fingers. I frowned. Why are you showing me your physical injuries? You think your new tongue is functional and your bones are knitted together? I'll decide what to do with you? A slow smile spread my lips. Oh, not quite, Pimlico. We have a long way to go before you're healed. I tapped her temple. In here. She froze. Did you think I just wanted you physically fit? I grinned. I know damaged. I've been where you are, in a different way, of course. It takes time. As her eyes narrowed in judgment and questions, a plan slowly unfurled in my head. For so long, I had no idea what to do with her, what I could do without damaging my own shaky foundations. But now, I think I know. Stand up. I stepped back, letting her go. She drew in a breath, ignoring me. I ripped off the sheet and grabbed her wrist, hauling her upright. When I give you an order, obey. I won't hurt you, but I'll find another way to punish you if you don't. She wobbled a little. Her hand slapped over her injured bicep, rubbing away the drying blood. Her flat stomach stopped heaving with manic breath, and her gaze only tracked to my cello once before landing back on me. I waited until I had her full attention. When her eyes settled on mine, and a sense of calmness filled her body, rather than nervous fright, I murmured, "We're going to do something. There isn't going to be a time limit, and I won't answer your questions about why." She stood taller, curiosity and apprehension budding bright. "I told you when I first took you that I'd make you worth more than pennies, that you'd be worth fucking millions. Well, it's time I made that come true." My cock thickened with the potentially dangerous but delicious game we could play. "I'm going to piece you back together, and once you're whole, then I'll decide your true value. And once that monetary figure has been reached, it will have to be repaid. In full."
Chapter 30. Pimlico. His sentence was rude and belittling. How much was I worth? Who was he to tell me what I was worth? That was for me to decide, no one else. And to pay him for my worth. What sort of sick con artist did I live with? But I couldn't deny my curiosity piqued. Even if I stood in the room where classical music was created, even if Elder was the creator of every song that tortured my mind while Ulrich tortured my body, even if the cello squatted like a goblin in our midst, ready to tear me limb from limb. I was intrigued enough to fight the shivering need to run far away. I'd never been in this room before, and now it was tainted with notes and pain. Common sense knew Elder wasn't the one who played when I was raped and beaten. I knew he didn't intentionally rip me to pieces and make me bleed every time he strummed a chord. But I also knew that when it came to my hatred of music, I had no rationality left. I wanted to burn every violin and rip apart every piano. I wanted to destroy that cello sitting smugly, mocking me. I wanted to throw it overboard and let the sharks devour it. No, that's too good for it. I wanted it to burn, and burn. But for the first time, Elder had drawn a line. He'd shown me something he valued enough to raise his voice and put a hand on me. something that evoked passion in him, revealing a single secret from all the rest that were locked so deep down tight. He was a mystery, but now I knew his weakness. His weakness is my weakness, just in different ways. He had to conjure music. I had to run from it. Two polar extremes that couldn't survive the other. Was that an analogy for our twisted relationship? Were we too different, from two contrasting worlds, to ever find neutral territory? I didn't have the answers, so I stood, waiting, ignoring the belittling statement and cursing his music and watching him with murderous eyes. He stuck his hands into his denim pockets, looking like a murderer himself in a black t-shirt and bare feet. He paced in front of me. Whatever idea he'd gathered grew and changed with every breath.
I'm going to give you tasks. Each one will be worth a different value.
His voice was hypnotic as he continued to pace.
Each one will push you to take back what he's stolen. Each requirement will force you to find who you truly are beneath your self-imposed silence.
He stopped. I balled my fists, enjoying the ache for once from my healed bones. What are these tasks? And why did I fear them already when he hadn't hinted at what he'd make me do? His smile was wicked.
You saw who I was in Morocco. You know how easy it was for me to steal that man's wallet. There is freedom in theft, Pimlico. Anxiety and guilt, yes, but an insane rush, too. The power to take what doesn't belong to you and make it yours. There's no greater thrill.
His face darkened.
Apart from making music, of course.
I ignored that. He was deranged. I would never accept his addiction to such disgusting pastimes. Then again, I would rather be a thief for the rest of my life than ever learn to play music.
The thrill was part of the reason why I stole you. I wanted you, and he wouldn't give me the option to pay.
His body tightened.
But I also stole you because it was the right thing to do. Sometimes stealing is wrongness wrapped up in right.
His eyes tightened with age-old despair, dragging into his own black memories.
Sometimes being bad is the only thing you can do to save the good in your life. And sometimes, no matter how bad you are, even wrongness can't fix it.
Everything he just said was a direct contradiction to the speech he gave when he robbed the Chinese traveler. Could he switch his arguments as he saw fit? Or did he honestly see the yin and yang of each consequence? My toes dug into the car.